We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, it is.
It is.
The Alex Dono Show here on a, what's today? Thursday? I was about to say Wednesday. Man, I have no idea. No idea what's happening. It is. It is the Alex Dono Show here on 560 WQAM. Got Hialeah Hector back. I miss this guy. Yeah, I was asking him, I was asking you, Hector, before the show, like how long you had been gone, because I have no sense of time whatsoever.
Yeah, clearly. A year and 2 months, roughly.
Like, I knew it was something between, like, 8 months and 2 years, but I had no idea how long you'd been gone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to your defense, we really hadn't seen each other for about 2 years.
Yeah, when you've been working with Joe Rose.
Correct.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you're all right.
So, in the last year and 2 months, has this, you know, we've changed ownership since you were last here, but anything else, like, seemed different walking around the building, the facilities here? Have they changed in the last year and 2 months?
Not really, no. Same problems with the jack here in the studio. I mean, yeah, same old 560 WQAM.
And just so you know, I don't know if you've encountered this yet, but for phone calls tonight, you're going to have to, like, text me or find some other means to tell me who's on hold because the call screen here doesn't work.
Yeah, I had that issue last Friday night with Kevin Rogers.
Okay, there you go. So you're already caught up. You're already caught up on the dying WQAM space capsule. If you'd like to get in and share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560 or get at us on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line at 56022. But please, do not text and drive. You know what I was thinking about with the Jose Ureña move last night? Couple things. You're essentially plunking a guy, trying to injure a guy, because he's too good at his job, which was the case with Ronald Acuña. Like, think about how absurd that is for a second, that you weren't trying to hit him because he did something dirty or he broke an unwritten rule of baseball. You're trying to hit that kid because he had been smoking every Marlins pitcher, home runs over the past five games, leadoff home runs in three straight games. I mean, you are trying to injure that young man who did nothing wrong. He was just too good at his job. He was showing you up. He was showing you up for the last three games and hit leadoff home runs. And I guess Jose Ureña allegedly had had enough of it. Now, I know that he would tell you his version of the story was, that's my game, bro. I've got that powerful fastball, 97 miles an hour. I'm just trying to get it a little bit inside to keep the hitter honest. Well, yeah, I think it was, to anyone who had eyes and was watching that, very clear what you were trying to do. You weren't trying to put it a little bit inside. You were trying to nail the guy, which you did. Dead straight on the elbow. You notice that Don Mattingly, his own manager, wouldn't even defend him, right? Like, he, even Mattingly, and rightfully so, was throwing him under the bus. From what I can tell, right, and I've scoured the internet on this just a little bit. I'm not claiming I have read every Jose Ureña hot take, but from what I can tell, there's only, like, two prominent people who are actually sticking up for him. It's Keith Hernandez. That is one magic loogie. I know Keith Hernandez more from his Seinfeld cameo than I do from actual baseball. Kind of sad. But Keith Hernandez and David Sampson seem to be the only two people who are sticking up for Jose Ureña, who did get hit with a six-game suspension. So he's really missing one start. But as was pointed out to me on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, they will dock him for pay for six games. So financially, I guess the punishment is slightly more severe than it would be for, you know, a starting pitcher gets suspended. You're only actually missing one game. So, yeah, I thought last night was pretty despicable, right? Like, there are certain moments in a number of different sports You know, in hockey, there are times where you expect, okay, the enforcer has to come on and start a fight with this clown because of what he did, took a cheap shot at your goaltender. There are moments in baseball. I don't like some of these unwritten rules. I'm not enough of a baseball traditionalist, but you watch your home run, you pimp out your trot a little bit too much, you show up the other team, and then you get plunked at your next at-bat. I don't agree with a lot of those unwritten rules, but the tradition of those goes back over a century for some of these things, and traditions can be hard to break. But if you're going to jack a 97-mile-per-hour pitch at somebody just because they have been too good at their job and they keep hitting home runs, there's nothing valid about that, in my opinion. 560-22 is how you get in on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, or via the phone lines at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. That was a dirty move. It was a dirty play last night, Hector. Dirty play, no matter how you look at it. And it's kind of making me think, I want to do a Dono's top three list tonight. Top three dirtiest athletes, past or present, right? Some of the names that come to your brain, obviously, Albert Haynesworth, Ndamukong Suh, Ron Artest. How about Mike Tyson? I mean, Mike Tyson literally bit a man's earlobes off in a fight. I mean, that's got to be one of the dirtiest players in the game right there. Oh, man. Courtland Finnegan. It's another NFL player who had a dirty reputation. Ooh. How about this good one? Richie Incognito. I mean, a lot of people only remember Richie Incognito for the Bullygate scandal, which was, you know, a whole locker room thing allegedly brewing over several months between he and Jonathan Martin, their relationship. But before any of the Bullygate stuff came to light, Richie Incognito was known as a player who's going to knee you in the groin at the bottom of a pile, going to rake your eyes when the officials aren't looking, going to take a cheap shot at you. That was always the reputation for Richard Dominic Incognito, in that he was a very dirty player on the field before his reputation off the field deteriorated very quickly. So I think that's another name you have to bring up. What about Tonya Harding? I mean, Tonya Harding had allegedly had a goon take out Nancy Kerrigan's knees with a wand before the Olympics. I mean, that was one of the dirtiest moves ever. Although I did, a few weeks ago, I watched, and actually, you know what? It's funny, Hector was asking me if I've been watching any movies lately, and I told him no, because, you know, with a 5.5-month-old, like, I only watch Disney Junior and nothing else. But I did lie, actually, because I had to take a couple of flights a few weeks back, and I watched I, Tonya, and I watched The Disaster Artist with James Franco and Dave Franco. I enjoyed both of those movies.
Both good movies.
Very good movies.
Margot Robbie, beautiful woman.
Yeah. I mean, even when they tried to make her, like, less hot because she was playing Tonya Harding, still looked great.
Amazing. I
mean, still looked amazing. But for the perspective, like, in the movie I, Tonya, they really wanted to, like, the story that they told was she did not know that the goon, Sean Eckhart, actually had hired somebody to hit Nancy Kerrigan in the knees. According to that movie, she only thought that they were going to mail her death threats to kind of get in her head psychologically, that she had no idea they were actually going to use violence to physically attack her and injure her. So that's kind of the story that came out of that movie. But, man, I'm still not convinced. I still feel like Tonya Harding knew what was up, man. I feel like Tonya Harding knew that she was her or someone close to her was literally putting out a hit on Nancy Kerrigan.
How about her mom, man?
Her mom was crazy. Like the parrot on her shoulder the entire time. Like a pirate, Blackbeard. I mean, oh, man, you could at least, like, coming out of that movie, if nothing else, you understand why Tonya Harding was so screwed up mentally, right? From her upbringing, you know, her mom was a complete whack job. You know, she gets into very young. She gets into the relationship with Galuli, who was, you know, physically and mentally abusive to her for many years. Didn't go to college or anything like that. Didn't have those opportunities. And her mom, you know, she had one of those crazy, you know, helicopter parents, or really the type of parents that live vicariously through their kids. Like, her mom put her into figure skating at a very young age, thinking this can be my meal ticket, that I'm going to push her to become successful and famous and rich, and she can take care of us. And that's going to be my legacy, is pushing my daughter into becoming a figure skating champion. And a lot of parents, you try to do that to your kid, they're going to resent you, right? I was just listening to a couple weeks ago a Joe Rogan podcast with Macaulay Culkin, the kid from Home Alone. Forcing your kids into child acting, that's got to be one of the biggest gray areas for ethics, right? You've got a 3-4-year-old kid, obviously a very good-looking kid. Oh, you have agents saying, hey, your kid should be like a model for Huggies diapers or for toy commercials, or your kid should be in movies. And then immediately you start to think, wow, I'm struggling to pay my mortgage. My kid can make me thousands, perhaps millions of dollars if your kid becomes Macaulay Culkin or the Olsen twins or something like that. This becomes my meal ticket as a parent. But then you have to consider the fact that your kid ends up being worked like 16-hour days, and they have no choice in the matter, right? Like 7-year-old Macaulay Culkin when he was starring in Home Alone, or like 6-year-old Macaulay Culkin when he was in Uncle Buck, did not have like any choice over the matter. That was his parents saying, hey, it's time for you now to go to work to pay my bills. That's a weird thing, man. It's like maybe some of the kids enjoy the fame, but you're completely taking the childhood away from that kid, right? I mean, Hector, I don't mind saying it. I've got a very handsome kid, but I'm not going to push him into any acting gigs.
Well, why wouldn't you? You can get out of the radio. You'll be done.
Can you imagine? How epic would my Twitter account be if instead of like Dono, the radio host, I became Dono, the stage parent?
I mean, you're getting there on Instagram.
That is true. I do post a lot of pictures of my kid. Maybe I should have my kid do a few movies.
He could just become an IG model, and you'll be set with that.
I can't believe that's a real profession now, 2018. There are hundreds of attractive young women out there who have printed resumes that say Instagram model as their profession.
That
that's
is correct.
The thing.
And they get paid by these doofy drinks like Bang and Red Bull, and that's it. And they're golden. You have to just post every day, tag the account.
Wow.
And they get their money's worth.
And don't look a lot of those poor women, and this is probably something that they may not necessarily be looking for. They get like the letters from like the prince in like Dubai, who's like, hey, just I'm going to pay you like $10 million. Just come out and hang out with me for a weekend.
Well, let's reach out to Huggy so we can get Lucas. Is it correct?
Luca.
We can get Luca sponsored by Huggies.
We're going to do that. I'll even take Pampers' money if they want to pay me. We'll take some calls on the other side. The Alex Dono Show continues next here on QAM. Radio.com.
Radio.com. AR.com. Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Cadillac Studios, Morse has more.
Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com.
With you till 10 o'clock tonight here on the Alex Dono Show, 560 WQAM. Claude Lemieux, 30 players, somebody writes in. Todd Bertuzzi, very, very dirty former hockey player. Oh, Lance Armstrong. That, I feel like that's got to be at the top of the list when we do the top three. I mean, yeah, I didn't want my top three list of dirtiest athletes, and it's inspired by Jose Ureña and what he did to Ronald Acuña Jr. last night. It was a dirty play. All right, I don't think Jose Ureña is gonna end up on my top three list of dirty athletes, but I didn't want it to just become a list of steroid users, right? Like I didn't want that just to be the thing. Like I wanted it to be cheap shot artists and such. But I feel like Lance Armstrong, not only was such a prolific steroid user, you know, on the one hand, I don't crucify Lance for the same reasons that some people do, because using steroids and EPO in cycling, literally 95%, if not 99% of the professional cyclers of that era were on all kinds of juice. You had to be at that point. Because enough guys were using it. It gives you such an advantage in that sport. Everyone in that sport was doping. I'm sure a lot of people still are. They just have to find more creative ways to beat the testing at this point. So it's not like I'm so outraged by Lance Armstrong for being a serial doper. It's the way that he handled himself, right? I mean, he was being accused by people who were completely correct about him doping. And his response was, suing them in order to protect his lie, right? Like, how many people Lance Armstrong dragged through the mud emotionally and financially when they were the ones who were telling the truth just to protect his lie? That, to me, was the despicable part about Lance Armstrong, how far he went to keep lying and protect it. And then, okay, like, he finally came clean. He expects people not to, you know, just to forgive and forget, you know, all those years of lying and dragging people through the mud. That was pretty despicable from Lance.
I did a little Google research, and the first thing that pops up is, according to ESPN.com, is Ty Cobb, Karl Malone, Bill Laimbeer.
Laimbeer's a good one. I mean, Ty Cobb, granted, but the guy played like 100 years ago. Like, nobody cares about Ty Cobb anymore, right? Like, if I put Ty Cobb, who, if he were alive, would be like 203 years old, if I were to put Ty Cobb on my top three list of dirtiest players, it's like, you've got to be like born in the Civil War era to remember Ty Cobb. So I'm probably going to keep that off my list. But Karl Malone, Laimbeer, those are good ones. What about trying to think of more basketball players? I think I mentioned Meta World Peace, Ron Artest.
Stockton.
John Stockton had, he was like a Ric Flair type, like dirtiest player in the game type of moves from Stockton. So he had a lot of dirty Utah Jazz players back in those days. What about, I'm trying to think of the guys who were involved in like the Malice at the Palace, the brawl at Auburn Hills. Steven Jackson, is that
Steven Jackson, that's correct.
That he was considered another dirty player, wasn't he? Aside from just Ron Artest.
They have up here Rodman.
Oh, Dennis Rodman. That's a great one. Oh, how could I forget Rodman? Unbelievable foreign negotiator, Dennis Rodman, but a very dirty player. Like, I wonder if he's ever like raked Kim Jong-un's eyes, like just to make a point when he goes over there in those diplomatic visits. You know they play some one-on-one games over there, he and Kim. Do you think Rodman has to tone it down? Because he's like, okay, I got to weigh my options here. I want to win this one-on-one game, but if I win, I might get executed. Right? I mean, you've got to let, like, playing a one-on-one game with Kim Jong-un, it's like playing with your four-year-old kid. Like, you're supposed to let them win. I don't think you can, like, if you commit a hard foul on Kim Jong-un, you're going back to the United States in pieces. I don't think you can do that.
I looked up another list, but this is per Bleacher Report, and they have Ty Cobb again as number one.
Like, wow.
Ty Cobb is number one on three different sites that I've looked
at. What is, hold on, I think I may have one of those lists open. I want to see what, I mean, I know like Ty Cobb is known as being like just an awful racist and a terrible human being.
Bill Romanowski.
That's a good one. Bill Romanowski, I will give you for sure. Ty Cobb. I want to see what they say. Like aside from him just being like an all around terrible human being. Why they say Ty.
Your girl Tonya Harding made the Bleacher Report list top 10.
I mean, she's got to. I mean, she allegedly ordered a hit on another skater to take out her knees. I think you've got to consider her for that, man. You've got to. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Valdez. You're on QAM. What's up, Valdez?
Hey, what's up, Dono? How you doing?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm good. Hey, your boy stole my thunder. I was going to say, I was waiting for you to say Bill Romanowski.
Yeah, that's a great one. And yeah. Somebody people remember, unlike Ty Cobb, who played in like 1907.
Like I don't even know what Ty Cobb looks like. So
did they have photographs when Ty Cobb was playing? Like I might have to look for a portrait.
Yeah, that might be an interesting one. And you forgot about Vontaze Burfict too.
Vontaze Burfict, you know he's probably the dirtiest player in the NFL at this point, I think.
Yeah, but you know what? You probably won't hear the stories until he retires. Of all the stuff that he's done. Because I remember the Antonio Brown hit, and a lot of people forget about the Cam Newton one where he tackled Cam Newton and twisted his ankle.
That's right.
In the pile. So he's probably got a few of them on there. Hey, Donald, I heard you were talking about child actors, too. You forgot. If you ever go on YouTube, there's one about a kid named Ryan. You won't know it now, but when your son gets older and you start letting him watch kids' YouTube,
mm-hmm.
You'll see it with a kid named Ryan. The kid's like worth $8 million.
No way.
Yeah.
I might have to change my mind about pushing my kid into acting. Right.
Exactly. No, and all he does is make YouTube videos. He got so big on YouTube that he's paid by for commercials. He's paid by marketing and for commercials and for just advertising on his page.
Wow. $8 million
gets to work. I think He might be worth more now, but I remember at one time it was $8 million.
Jesus.
See, you're missing out on stuff, Donald.
Well, when I go home tonight, I'm going to have my kid, who's not even 6 months, I'm going to have him practice taking selfies when I get home. He's not even 6 months old. He can't crawl yet, but I'm going to have him taking selfies by the end of the night.
Hey, IT model isn't a bad profession if they pay you for it. So
that's true, man.
Hey, Donald, I got one quick thing I want to talk to you about. You know, I'm going to watch this game this week. The Dolphins play Carolina. A lot of people talk about Adam Gates being a saving disciple and everything else. People forget who his mentor is. His mentor was Mike Martz. His offense that he runs is Mike Martz's offense.
A little tweaked, but yeah, I can see the lineage there.
So now, with that being said, what everybody forgets, what made Mike Martz's offense so good, wasn't Torrey Holt or Isaac Bruce or Robert, I think it's a Holcomb or whoever they had at tight end. It was actually Marshall Faulk.
Yeah, definitely.
Marshall Faulk made that offense go. He ran for 1,000 yards. He caught 1,000 yards. So what I'm going to watch this week is how effective the running game is and how good the offensive line is run blocking. I think they'll be fine in pass protection, but they got to be better in run blocking. I mean, it got to be good. I saw a couple of good things last week because I went to the game as far as run blocking. But if they can be strong up front running the ball, you got a potential to have a decent season.
And to what you're saying, Valdez, it makes sense because, I mean, we all know, anyone who follows this team knows that Adam Gates loves his running backs catching passes, and it's one of the things that made him lose patience with Jay Ajayi. He wasn't up to his standards in that area. That's something he expects Kenyon Drake to do, something he will expect Kalen Ballage to do. That was something that Damian Williams was very good at when he was here. You have to be able to catch passes out of the backfield in that offense, and that does, again, tie back to the Mike Martz offense.
I agree. If he can, and if Kenyon Drake can get anywhere like the 15 to 1,800 total yard range for the season, running the ball and catching the ball, Dolphins can have a pretty good season as far as that offensively. Defensively, don't know what's going to happen. But when they had success, when they were running the ball, they were able to score points. Take as much pressure as you can off of Ryan Tannehill. Don't ask him to win the game. Just ask him to make big throws. If you can get him to make big throws, which he was able to do that year because they had a running game, then you'll see success. It works. It's tried and true in the NFL, and everybody talks about it, and they always forget about it. Like when Brady was his most successful, when Brady was successful, before Brady was Brady, he was successful with a running game.
Yeah.
Because he could lean on that running game, and then when you needed him to make a few big throws, he made them. But Donald, has been good, buddy. Great talking to you. I'll talk to you soon, buddy. Take care.
As always, man, I appreciate you, Valdez. Always love hearing from Valdez. 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560 if you want to get in. Three dirtiest players in sports, Texter writes. Draymond Green, Chris Paul, and Pac-Man Jones. Yeah, Draymond Green, that's another good one. And CP3, he's got that reputation as well, man. Marlins are so irrelevant, Texter writes. It's a AAA franchise. Even fame bleep Marlins man has stopped attending games. Didn't Marlins man make a triumphant return recently? I thought. I guess he's not back in full time then. Oh, man. Caller brought a great take and perspective. We've got some Valdez fans out there. We'll take more calls throughout the evening tonight. I also want to do a new edition of Clickbait a little bit later on. You know, I loved in the NFL, I loved the Jalen Ramsey burn book. He was, you know, discussing his honest, unfiltered opinions on every quarterback. I love how, you know, because when I found out he did this, right, you start to hear about the things that he was saying about Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, Josh Allen. I kept thinking, man, I've got to see what he says about Ryan Tannehill. I want to see if Jalen Ramsey trashed my quarterback. And it turns out he didn't really trash Ryan Tannehill, but really did trash him in the process, right? It's like so dismissive, so backhanded that it kind of ended up coming off that way. On Ryan Tannehill, I don't know much about him. I haven't heard the greatest of stuff about him, but I don't know him personally, so I can't tell you. I don't watch their games either. Oh, man. Well, listen, I think it just goes to show you that Tannehill is easily forgotten, right? I mean, when was the last time you actually saw Ryan Tannehill play in any game, preseason or regular season? 2016, December of 2016, right? So you're talking about a damn near year and a half absence from Ryan Tannehill. That's one of the reasons why the Dolphins are flying under the radar, right? Now, listen, I'm not saying the Dolphins are going to be great, but when I see ESPN rank the Dolphins 32 out of 32 in their latest power rankings, like, that's garbage, man. They're not the worst team in the NFL. Middle of the pack at best, sure, but they're not going to be worse than 21st or 22nd out of 32 teams in the NFL. Like, to think that that's the worst possible team that will take the field this year, that to me is laughable. Okay, 6-10 last year, but that was 6-10 with Jay Cutler doing most of the quarterbacking last season. And listen, I actually enjoyed covering Jay Cutler as a human being, personality. I found it to be kind of quirky and kind of interesting. But then he actually put the pads on and went out on the field and stunk up the joint, you know, for the better part of 16 games last year. I mean, Jay Cutler, to me, if you don't think that team is going to be better than 6-10 just because you are subtracting Jay Cutler and adding Ryan Tannehill, yeah, I get it. You also subtracted Jarvis Landry, but I don't think he literally costs you multiple wins not being here. I definitely don't think Mike Pouncey being gone costs you wins. I love Mike Pouncey before the injuries. Not the same player. I don't care that he started 16 games last year. Mike Pouncey is no longer great. I know the big trophy for Pouncey was 16-plus. You know, everybody's dogging me because I miss 2/3 of every season with my hip injuries. I'm going to show everybody I can still get through a 16-game season. You did that, fantastic, but you're not the Mike Pouncey of 2015 anymore. You do not have that elite athleticism that you had when you were pre all the hip issues. And, you know, one thing I am curious about is, without Ndamukong Suh, how much do things change, right? And that's going to entail others stepping up, right? Devon Godshaw, I think, has a lot of potential. I think Akeem Spence was a nice addition to this team. But is Jordan Phillips ever going to be any good consistently, right? Like, Jordan Phillips is going to give you 2 or 3 really good games in a season. But if you're going to have him a regular part of that defensive tackle rotation, you've got to see more than 2 or 3 really good games in a year. The Alex Donoff Show continues. We'll take more of your calls, texts, and tweets next here on QAM.
Radio.com. Radio. Radio. Radio.com.
The Georgia Peach. I'm guessing he's from Georgia. Why don't we call him the Georgia Peach? He loves to eat peaches. We'll call him the Georgia Peach. How about he loves hurting people with his spikes, right? Yeah, we're going to call him the Georgia Peach. I love that. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Dave. You're on QAM. What's up, Dave?
Yeah, how you doing, Donald? Man, I have an important question. I'd like to get your input on something. You know, the NBA, like, those guys, like, they're really, really taken care of. And the NBA, I think they make the fourth or third most money. How come the NFL makes the most money, shortest season, but the players, they get paid very little compared to the NBA?
One of the first major reason is, like, NBA, you're talking about a roster of 15 guys. In the NFL, you're spreading the money over 53-plus practice squads, so the distribution of money causes players to make less money on average. And then the other thing is, like, in the NFL, you don't get those guaranteed contracts because there's so many injuries in that sport that I guess the union has never gotten powerful enough to force the NFL owners to fully guarantee. It's more common for especially the better players to get big signing bonuses to kind of bring up the guaranteed money. But you still don't have guaranteed contracts because the idea in the NFL is it's so easy to suffer season-ending and career-ending injuries that they don't want to have to commit for, you know, 4 or 5 years worth of salary for guys. So unfortunately, and somebody can let me in if I'm leaving out something important, but I would say just the sheer size of the rosters and the fact that there's so much less certainty of players getting through seasons and careers healthy just force NFL players to make on average, and they're still making great money, as we all know, but they're making significantly less money on average than basketball players, for example.
Yeah, but even at three times more, like the NFL makes three times more than the number two sport.
But the rosters are also four times bigger.
Oh, that's true. All right, thank you for your input.
Yeah, no problem, man. I mean, listen, I think you're seeing like the big thing. I mean, the salary cap does keep gradually going up, and you are seeing guys, especially starting quarterbacks, making ridiculous money at this point. I mean, you think about the Kirk Cousins deals. I mean, even Ryan Tannehill is making a ton of money for a quarterback who still isn't really proven as a franchise guy. And Ndamukong Suh was here making quarterback money as a defensive tackle. Now, if you're on the latter half of the roster, you're not making as much money as the last guy on the bench in an NBA team. But there are reasons for that. You know, I think that the NFL Players Union is probably definitely not as strong as the baseball union and not as strong as the NBA union. But I think that there are other factors there as to why NFL players don't make the type of money that NBA players make. Also, if you're a good NBA player, seems like they do better with endorsements than most NFL players do, right? I mean, you can literally see, people may downplay how important this is, but you're watching an NBA game. You can literally see the best player's face at all times watching an NBA game, whereas in football, you're watching a guy behind a helmet. You know, one thing that's crazy, like if I'm at Miami Heat Media Day, I can recognize in street clothes every single Miami Heat player. If I'm at Miami Hurricanes Media Day, if they don't have like numbers, if they don't have jerseys with numbers and last names, there could be a lot of players who I'll admit to you, if Zach McLeod were to walk into this room right now, it would take me a little while to figure out who it was, right? Whereas if Josh Richardson walked in the room right now, I know who that is within a split second. So I think that's part of the reason why good NBA players make better endorsement money as well, because it's a little bit less anonymous, the sport that they play. Let's talk with Cookie Monster here on QAM. What's up, Cookie?
What up, bro?
What up, man? Long time no talk. How you doing?
Pretty good, dude. How's the baby?
Oh, he's excellent, man. He's great. Spent a lot of time with him every day, but today especially, we were having a good time, me and the kid.
Can you explain real quick? What's the difference, right, when you, I'm going to say a year ago, to the way you feel now?
Oh, it's wild, man. Well, I mean, let's start with like the stress stuff that's different from a year ago to now.
Okay.
A year ago, I watched a ton of TV shows, right? I would have like 4 or 5 hour at a time marathon sessions of Netflix shows on the weekends.
Uh-huh.
Would see a lot of movies, like every couple of weeks, the wife and I would go to the movie theaters. Nowadays, like I just don't have time to watch TV, right? Like I have to find time during the day to watch some sports clips and to read some sports articles because that's part of my job. But I'm not sitting watching TV shows like ever. Haven't been to the movies in like 4 months. And just like free time is at a premium, Cookie. Like I was talking about this earlier tonight, that the best thing when you are the parent of an infant, you appreciate every minute when your kid is taking a nap, right? Like you put your kid down for a nap. And with my kid, you don't know how long that nap is going to be, right? He may wake up crying in a half hour, or he may wake up in 2 hours, like refreshed. You don't know how, it's a roll of the dice. But if you can get like a 2 hour long nap, you can get a lot of stuff done. Those are the things you look forward to. And then, you know, to be cliche, the big positive of having a child is...
Hello?
Yeah, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You know, the big positive to having a child, everything that people say about the love you experience for your kid, all of that stuff is true. Like, you don't realize you could love something as much as you do until you experience that. So that would be the ultimate positive of it.
Oh, man, I can't wait to feel that, bro.
Yeah, man.
It's like it's almost like people say that... Like, it's like you gave your life for them.
I would, absolutely.
Everything you do is all you think about is them.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Like you put that person's life before yours, 100%.
Dude, that's awesome. I mean, it's like you're able to see like this human
starting to become, you know what I mean? It's like almost like a creature, and it's like, oh, okay, I see it now.
Definitely.
Like, starting to see, like, their traits and the little things, and you're like, oh, okay, okay. And it's like, you know, as they grow older and older, it's like, that's crazy, man. And he made that, bro.
Right,
that's
yeah. Part of you. That's the thing that trips me out. It's like you feel so responsible for that person because you are literally responsible for their creation.
Right? From the beginning to the end. Dude, that's awesome. But to talk about the Dolphins real quick, I know almost everybody has have them what? I think you're the only one that has them at nine. What was it? Nine and seven.
I have a little faith. I have faith in a winning record.
I have them at 10-6 and
wow.
In the playoffs.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been told you this, dude.
I know, but I forgot. Now I remember.
Like, I'm telling you, man. Look, can you just tell me what are the things these 2 years have in common? 08 and 2016. What was it? What did the team have?
Under the radar.
Both those teams that you could say, well, these two teams had these things in common.
That they weren't expected to do anything.
Other than that. I mean, like the way they played, like what were their strengths and weaknesses? Like, what were the strengths, mainly, of the 08 and 2016 teams? They have very similar strengths, if you look at them.
What, defense?
No, man. Their O-line was up there.
I hope the O-line's up there.
I mean, think about it. In 08 and 2016, both of those teams had good O-line. Both of those teams had two quarterbacks that wasn't turning the ball over. You remember that?
Absolutely. I mean, Chad Pennington had one of the most efficient seasons I've ever seen.
And Tannehill had one of the most efficient seasons in his career, I believe, before he got injured, right?
Yeah.
And then the third thing is they both had an amazing running game. Am I right or wrong?
You're right.
Okay. Look at the 2018 season now, this team right here. What is our deepest position?
Probably running back.
Running back. You got a Hall of Famer in Frank Gore. And everybody says that the guy looks like he's like if he just came out of the U. And then you have a rising, I don't know if I should call him a star, but a rising player in Kenyon Drake. And then under that, we have Balaj and I must say Snorris Perry, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Snorris Perry is okay. good special teams player, especially.
Okay. You're getting back the quarterback. That was efficient, and that was the quarterback that honestly took you to the playoffs. Am I right?
He didn't finish the job, but he did most of the heavy lifting.
Right. He pretty much took you there. All Matt Moore had to do was pretty much put the icing on the cake and just get you there. You know what I mean?
You won a couple big games. But, yes, I do. Okay. Just to your argument, I believe some people may feel otherwise, but I believe Ryan Tannehill, if he finishes that season, you still make the playoffs. I firmly believe that.
And he goes to the Pro Bowl. Because the guy that made it to the Pro Bowl was the redhead. What's his
Dalton.
Name? Dalton. So if you compare them, Tannehill had a better season than Dalton. He really did. He was supposed to be in the Pro Bowl that year. I'm telling you, dude. So, and then on top of that, everyone's talking about how this O-line is looking good. They're gelling together. The biggest question marks are the tackles. And it could be because they're going against Pro Bowl caliber defensive ends. So if we compare it, I know the season hasn't even started, but just to get a couple of fans in there thinking, these teams are very similar, and if things go well, barring injury, the O-line holds up, Tannehill plays his game, and the running backs show up, I'm telling you, dude, this team should make it to the playoffs. One, in the 2016 season, that defense was trash, in my opinion. They were one of the worst. They just got lucky a lot of times. They had a lot of turnovers. Dude, I'm telling you, they're going to the playoffs, baby.
I love it.
I'm telling you, man.
Your mouth to God's ears, Cookie.
It's going to happen, bro.
Your mouth to God's ears. I appreciate the call as always.
Let's get it.
It's funny, when he was asking me about fatherhood and stuff, a texter writes in, I feel like I'm listening to an old episode of Sally, Jesse, Raphael. Did we get a little bit too Hallmark for you there? Hallmark Network? Yeah, everything that they say is true. The love that you feel for your child. Everything about that they say is 100% true when you experience it. And I'm not even one of those people that says, oh, you got to have a kid. Right? You know, Hector, I remember hearing this from a lot of people before I had a kid. And, you know, we would tell some people that, we weren't even sure if we wanted kids, right? Like, I think I could have lived my entire life without a child and been perfectly happy with that. And a lot of people would say, like people with, I guess, kind of old-fashioned traditional mindsets, well, that's selfish, like not to want to have a kid. You should want to procreate. You're not complete. Like, how can you consider, you know, to be a married couple and not want to have kids? That's blasphemy. That's your duty on this planet to reproduce and all. I never really bought into that stuff. So I'm not one of these people who tells you you have to have a kid. Do whatever you want to do. If you don't want to have a kid, that's fine. There's probably already too many kids on this planet already. I'm contributing to an overpopulation problem on this planet, but I still love my kid.
So you're telling me I should do what I want and not have a kid? Because you threw in the population thing at the end of that sentence.
Yeah, like probably too many people are having kids, right? You realize the human race, at some point we outgrow this planet, and then what do?
Oh, the apocalypse.
Well, yeah, but I'm hoping we can avoid that, right? I mean, Elon Musk needs to start really colonizing some other planets because at some point, a couple hundred years from now, we're a little bit short on real estate here, right? We've used up all the resources. Land is scarce. We're going to have to start burrowing underground. What do I do if I live in Miami? The water table is like a foot. I can't live underground here. We're going to be covered by ocean water in like 3 years if I believe the doomsday predictions. So I think we need to start prepping Mars. We need to start prepping maybe certain parts of the moon. Some of the moons of Saturn maybe could be hospitable. We need to start thinking about planting our seed in other parts of the galaxy here is what we need to do.
Well, I don't plan on having a kid anytime soon. So
there you go.
For that.
Thanks to you, we might be able to stay on this planet for a little bit longer, man. A little bit longer. I think Cookie Monster is a little way up there, Dono Texter writes.
Yeah, he was on one tonight.
Well, I mean, Cookie Monster, he likes to make the conversation anglerfish deep. Like he likes to really get to the depths of the ocean sometimes.
Yeah, he was quite excited there, man.
He was. It sounded like I convinced him to have a kid. Did you get that sense as well?
Yes, I did. It was getting very sentimental.
Should have hit the cough button, but I just coughed anyway. Hold on, let me do it one more time. You can't, I've looked this up, you cannot get sick by my germs traveling through your radio. That's not physically possible. So I do feel bad, though, for Joe Rose when he uses this microphone tomorrow morning.
Yeah, anybody else that walks in this studio could get sick, you know?
I mean, this is the same microphone that John Renshaw used to use, and I'm still fine.
Well, that mic is all busted up. It keeps falling on people.
It does.
I haven't been here for a year and a half, and it still falls.
Everything. Yeah. Texter writes in, Dono, people don't know how wonderful it is to have a child until they experience it. The people I know who didn't have children regretted it later in life. I don't know. I don't know if I would have regretted it, to be honest with you. I really don't know. Like, I'm happy I have a kid, but I could have lived without. Dono, Mars is a backup plan for billionaires. That sucks, man. That's why I got to make my kid a child star. That's my only way to get into Mars. We'll take more of your calls, texts, and tweets next. The Alex Dono Show continues.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.